This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. It is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. This Course in Miracles can therefore be summed up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. When you are fearful, you are non-existent. In truth, this fearful world does not exist at all. Herein lies the peace of God. This Course in Miracles presents the inevitable possibility of the eternal singular reality of life. Now to the practice of the transformation of your mind. This, the workbook of A Course in Miracles. A theoretical foundation, such as was presented in the text, is necessary as a framework to make the exercises that we now intend to begin meaningful. Yet it is doing the exercises that will make the goal of the course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. This workbook, this provision of training that you are undertaking, is divided into two main sections. First, we're going to deal with the undoing of the way that you see now, and second, with the acquisition of true perception. Here is our purpose. The purpose in what we will perform on this video and in this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. Listen, transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. On the other hand, one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishment anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. In this practice that we are about to begin, some of the lessons you will find hard to believe, and others may seem to be quite startling. This does not matter. You are merely asked to apply the ideas as you are directed to do. You are not asked to judge them at all. You are asked only to use them. It is their use that will give them meaning to you and will show you that they are true. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept them, and you need not even welcome them. Some of them you may actively resist. None of this will matter or decrease their efficacy. The only thing we ask is that you don't make any exceptions on a moment-by-moment basis as you apply these lessons of this Course in Miracles. Here now begins the mind training. So good morning, and good afternoon, and good night, wherever you may be in the continuation of this practice of a mind training procedure, which we call A Course in Miracles, which is going to bring about a change in the manner in which you view yourself in this world. This is a continuation of two previous videos that we did in our determination that through your alacrity of a disciplined idea of an alternative, you have been practicing within the framework of the limitations that are imposed on you by this apparent objective identity that you have given yourself, a continuing immediate quantum alternative that is available to you within the space-time reference. The idea that at that precise moment you had an experience of a totality of instantaneous reality that transcended the previous objective ideas that you had about yourself is precisely and exactly what this mind training is designed to bring about. And we're going to use it as we did in the previous video. We talked about the idea of time travel, or the possibility that if you didn't associate with your own past thoughts about yourself and subsequently project them into the future so you could find a collaboration in your thought forms to the justification of your location in space-time, that you would instantly realize that you are everywhere all the time. There was considerable attraction to the idea that we could teach the instantaneous idea that you could travel to the stars. And we talked about the black hole and the idea that by converting the energy of the mass through an increase in velocity, we could actually escape what we would call an event horizon, okay, that had held us in the bondage of the idea of a single location. I think that was fairly simple. I'm going to take another step with you now. If you can take this step with me, this where everybody has the idea that quantum physics is somehow complicated. There's nothing complicated about the so-called theory of quantum reality. The complication of quantum reality is the impossibility of observing it objectively. What I'm going to talk to you about, just for a minute, with your permission, are the solutions that two famous physicists offered to the dilemma of the apparent unreality of objective associations in space-time. One of them will be Niels Bohr's Copenhagen resolution. The other will be the Heisenberg improbability theory, or the idea that that everything is finally uncertain. So we're going to deal with two ideas. One, the inevitability of the uncertainty of what we perceive, and the other, through the Copenhagen resolution, that we actually influence what we see out in the world by our observation of it. Just before we do that, very quickly, we're going to review just the first seven lessons of this mind training procedure as a reminder to you to how far you have come if you have indeed been practicing these lessons. Watch this, we'll be back in just a minute. I see only the past. This idea is particularly difficult to believe at first. Yet it is the rationale for all of the first six lessons that we practice and is the beginning point to a step out of time. It is the reason why nothing that you see means anything. It's the reason why you have given everything you see all the meaning that it has. It is the reason why you do not understand anything you see. It's the reason why your thoughts do not mean anything, and why they are like the things that you see, as meaningless as are you. It's the reason why you're never upset for the reason that you think, that it's the reason why you're upset because you see something that is not there, all because you see only the past. Old ideas about time are very difficult to change because everything you believe is rooted in time and depends on your not learning these new ideas about it. Yet that is precisely why you need new ideas about time. This first time idea is not really so strange at all if you look at it. Look at this cup. Do you see a cup? Or are you merely reviewing your past experience of picking up a cup, being thirsty, drinking from a cup, feeling the rim of a cup against your lips, having breakfast, and so on? Are not your aesthetic reactions to the cup, too, based on past experiences? How else would you know whether or not this kind of cup will break if you drop it? What do you know about this cup except what you learned in the past? You would have no idea what this cup is except for your past learning. Do you then really see it at all? Look about you. This is equally true of whatever you look at. Everything that you see is always over and gone. Each moment in all of time, you exist in the entirety of this space, here and now. Now let's catch up to some very late time. My mind is preoccupied with past thoughts. I see nothing as it is now. My thoughts do not mean anything. My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. I'm upset because I see a meaningless world. A meaningless world engenders fear. God did not create a meaningless world, and my thoughts are images that I have made. So here we are once again confirming the idea that everything that you see in your reference at this moment with me is actually over and gone. What a dilemma. Let's look at it for just a minute from the idea first of the, what you call, Heisenberg uncertainty principle. The quantum theory of uncertainty has been proven within the relationships of the observation of subatomic particles. What it says is this: the more specifically you identify the idea of momentum, location in momentum, look at it as velocity times mass, okay? The more certain you are of where that is going to be within the particular association, the less likely it is to be there. Did you hear that, quantum physicist associations? The more certain you are in the practice of the experimental observation of a relationship of mass and velocity, which is actually momentum, when you find the precise and exact spot where it is, it's not there. This is the fundamental teaching of the mind training that we are offering you. The idea of any specific reference in correspondence of what you observe as velocity or a location within light form cannot be true, because any specific location would have to be an indication of the specificness of your relationship with yourself. And since you are always over and gone, how could you possibly locate yourself specifically? Carrying that out to the uncertainty principle, it would appear that the more you expanded comparison relationship ideas in regard to the location that you seek, the more liable or possible you are to be able to find it. This is contrary to the mind training. Could you hear that? What we're actually trying to do is reverse the procedure. It seems to you that if you have to, if you could possibly observe it at the instant of the occurrence, it would need no comparison. Since there is obviously a distance between your ideas about yourself and the objective association that you have established, you apparently need a multitude of possibilities to arrive at a single conclusion. Could you hear that? Now, what we just impressed on you in this mind training, that all of your multitude of possibilities are actually over and gone. Now, perforce, it's necessary through an increasing number of possibilities for you to determine the single solution. This belies the possibility of an instantaneous communication within the quantum idea, because the moment you observe it instantaneously, it disappears. Was that any good? So, we have the idea of the acceptance of the possibility that the universe is your mind. The universe is thought, whether you think it's your mind or not. You actually believe by accumulating possibilities, you increase the probability. Actually, it's the opposite. The only way you can really increase the probability to arrive at a certainty is the instantaneous incursion, or occasion of a quantum moment, which is a simultaneous communication. So here I am, let's try it. I'm going to give you a quantum idea, okay, that will penetrate through a light formulation all of the objective thought forms. I'll do it with you. You've constructed all of these objective thought forms that, as we know by Heisenberg uncertainty, first are always over and gone. Okay. Second, through the Copenhagen solution, you must be making the decision yourself on how you want the objective association to correspond with the idea of yourself, even to the point where you simply disappear. Because it must be true that if at no single moment can you precisely identify within the entirety of the range of what you call material reality, or what you would call the particle or the wave, the certainty that you do not exist as you have objectified yourself in this relationship of the frame of what we term slow time is true. So the lessons that are going to come after the idea of lesson 15, let's review it, okay? My thoughts are images that I have made in my mind in order to find a correspondence in which I can base my momentary unreal reality. And by using the substance of these thoughts, I reject the quantum of idea of instantaneous communication. Now, the manner in which your perceptual mind performs the act of continuing thought form associations is literally to objectively subtract himself from the thought that he just had and make it neutral to him. Could you see this? Are you going to look with me at lesson 16? Lesson 16 will say, I have no neutral thoughts. It's going to say that all of the thinking that I do involves the power of the thinking of a single mind. By establishing the idea of neutral thoughts, I don't have to participate in my old references because they did not gratify me in where I found myself in objective reality. We're going to take just a minute now, and what we're going to do is show you lessons 16, 17, 18, 19, and perhaps lesson 20 in this workbook. I'm curious just for a minute about whether the practice of this has allowed you to see, as we reiterated previously, that everything you're seeing out there is an image that you have made, and in effect is always over and gone. And now we're applying the principle that the more determined you are to objectify it, that is to literally neutralize it in your own mind or take your own emotions out of it, the more precisely you attempt to see it, the more impossible it will become for you to do so, since you have no neutral thoughts. Okay. This includes two ideas. First, there's no neutrality in your thinking. Then you have no neutral thoughts. Then the idea that you are not alone in your thinking process, followed by you are not alone in the results that you get in your own thoughts. Somewhere this involves the simple truth of the matter that everything that is happening in this world is happening within your own mind. What we're trying to show you is a new way to release the defenses of the particleization of your mind, which are always previous thought ideas, to give you this quantum instant of shortening the distance between what you have objectified, okay, and to show you that if you don't objectify it specifically, you can be certain that in the uncertainty process will be the release from the defense of yourself. One of the great prayers of Jesus Christ, we sometimes call the Heisenberg Uncertainty Prayer. The idea that you say to God, God, everything I try to be certain about always fails me. And the more specific I become certain, the more failure I involve myself in. So I would appreciate it if you would give me a solution outside of this perspective. We'll be back with you in just a moment. Watch this. Let's begin with, I have no neutral thoughts. The idea for today is a beginning step in dispelling the belief that your thoughts have no effects. Everything you see is the result of your thoughts. There is no exception to this fact. Thoughts are not big or little or powerful or weak. They are merely true or false. Those that are true create their own likeness. Those that are false make theirs. There is no more self-contradictory concept than that of an idle thought. What gives rise to the perception of a whole world can hardly be called idle. Every thought you have contributes to truth or to illusion. Either it extends the truth or it multiplies illusions. You can indeed multiply nothing, but you will not extend it by doing so. Besides your recognizing that thoughts are never idle, salvation requires that you also recognize that every thought you have brings either peace or war, either love or fear. A neutral result is impossible because a neutral thought is impossible. There is such a temptation to dismiss fear thoughts as unimportant or trivial and not worth bothering about that it is essential you recognize them all as equally destructive but equally untrue. We will practice this idea in many forms, perhaps, before you really understand it, but it is what we intend to continue to do. Along with the idea that you have no neutral thoughts would have to be, of course, that you see no neutral things. This idea is another step in the direction of identifying cause and effect as it really operates in the world. You see no neutral things because you have no neutral thoughts. It is always the thought that comes first, despite the temptation to believe that it's the other way around. This is not the way the world thinks, but you must learn that it is the way you think. If it were not so, perception would have no cause and would itself be the cause of reality. In view of its highly variable nature, this is hardly likely. Once more, I see no neutral things because I have no neutral thoughts. As usual, it's essential to make no distinctions between what you believe to be animate or inanimate, pleasant or unpleasant. Regardless of what you may believe, you do not see anything that is really alive or really joyous. This is because you are unaware as yet of any thought that is really true and therefore really happy. We move directly now to the idea that you are not alone in experiencing the effects of your mind or your seeing. The idea for today is another step in learning that the thoughts which give rise to what you see are never neutral or unimportant. It also emphasizes the idea that minds are joined, which will be given increasing stress later on. Remember that today's idea does not refer to what you see as much as how you see it. Therefore, the exercises for today emphasize this aspect of your perception. Let's take a look at it. I am not alone in experiencing the effects of everything I see as I now look around in this world. Right on now to I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts. The idea for today is obviously the reason why your seeing does not affect you alone. You will notice that at times the ideas related to thinking precede those related to perceiving, while at other times the order is reversed. The reason is that the order doesn't matter. Thinking and its results are really simultaneous, for cause and effect are never separate. Today we are again emphasizing the fact that minds are joined. This is rarely a wholly welcome idea at first, since it seems to carry with it an enormous sense of responsibility and may even be regarded as an invasion of privacy. Yet it is a fact that there are no private thoughts. Despite your initial resistance to this idea, you will yet understand that it must be true if salvation is possible at all. And salvation must be possible because it is the will of God. I am not alone in experiencing the effects of my thoughts about anything, at any time, and anywhere. Do not forget that random selection of subjects for all practice periods remains essential throughout. Lack of order in this connection will ultimately make the recognition of lack of order in anything you see possible, so you will see that the miracle indeed is happening all around you, right here and right now. There's some laughing going on in the studio here. Actually, we're all alone, and except just for the two cameras. And we were laughing at the idea that I offered you the Heisenberg Uncertainty Prayer. And the simple fact of the matter is, in reality, you can't be certain of anything. The paradox that occurs in the idea of a complete uncertainty would disavow the idea that there actually is a structural possibility contained within our minds. And, the 12-year-old answer to that is God doesn't need order to be who He is. That is, if God is a continuing extension of all of the power of the mind in the universe, why would you be concerned about His result except in your own denial of the entirety of the auspices of His creating mind? Certainly the idea that all thought involves non-creative structure within a perceptual association is not particularly attractive to you, since your reality of body identification is based on being able to locate yourself within a little frame of limitation that you impose on yourself. The great science mystic Albert Einstein was very certain of the relationship of relativity in regard to reality, that in a particular way expressed the certainty of a single eternal source. The problem that arose with Dear Albert, and he's present with us here, was the necessity for him to admit, as say Niels Bohr had determined, that everything in fact was totally chaotic and that there was no order in the universe. And certainly that would be true as observed by conceptual mind. The problem that Einstein had with it, within his capacity of the certainty of the inevitability of relativity, he could not bring into his consciousness the idea, and he used this expression, that God rolled dice. That is, that there would be something random about the idea of an eternal creating source, because within his own mind, or with any reasonable mind, that would be impossible. The solution to it would have to be that contained within the conceptual mind, objectively, is the idea of alternative that could not possibly exist in a single source of reality. The solution that I have offered in some of my previous ideas is the idea that God does indeed roll dice in the idea of the performance of the act of his mind, but there's no spots on them. Okay? It's up to you to put the spots on the dice of God. Now, that will help dear brother Albert, if he'll allow it. But what it entails is the idea of this teaching. What it entails is the certainty of this illuminate mind that the totality of my subjectivity allows me to understand that the power of my mind is what the construction of the universe is. Now, that does not preclude the idea of putting spots on the dice. That is, the idea of possibilities that there would be alternatives in the crap game. I don't know if I could tell it that way. Would you like to look at what the idea of possibility entails for a minute? There's nothing new about this. The idea of crap game is if you throw a 7 and 11, it'll be a natural and you win. So you step up and you throw a 7, and sure enough, you won. Now, the idea, okay, and the possibility of you doing that is statistically within the range of the odds against you throwing a 7 or 11. Now, the next time that you throw the dice, the chances of you throwing a 7 or 11 are exactly the same. Yet within the arrangements you have made in sequentiality, the more times you throw the dice, the less likely you are to throw a 7 continuously. Did you see that? Conversely, the more you throw the dice and don't throw a 7, the more likely you are to throw one. Does that make any sense? You're caught in the dilemma of possibility without the admission that nothing really happens statistically except at the time that it happens, and at that moment it is not a statistic but a reality. This is the whole idea of quantum thinking. Okay, if you continue to verify it statistically in your mind, you will lose the opportunity to throw 7s continually. Because I promise you and guarantee you that the idea of throwing a 7 is in your mind. You allow yourself to become statistically involved with the possibility that the odds of you throwing 7 naturals in a row are 1,646,241 to 1. And obviously, as long as you continue to throw them with the certainty that you are involved in the entirety of it, there is no statistical possibility that you would not always throw a 7. Since obviously any observation of what you intend to do is always going to be over and gone anyway. I don't know whether we'll ever even release this video. I don't even know if that makes any sense to you. What we're confirming to you is you don't have any neutral thoughts. The power of decision is always contained within you. And while it appears to be statistic in its possibility, we just stated that in the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, the more certain it is to occur, the less likely it is going to be to happen. Which is the same idea, fundamentally, is you don't have to shoot crap in order to have sevens in your mind. And that any idea in your mind is going to bring you the result of being a winner, unless you compare with yourself with the idea that you lost. And the idea that you lost would have to involve the particulars of objective associations that verify the limitations of pain and loneliness and death, that give you an idea that somewhere within the structural relationship of what you define as life, you could absolutely lose. It's important that you remember that the idea of winning and losing with any spontaneous mind are exactly the same. And the certainty that you can only win is not based on not playing the game, but it is based on the certainty that no one can lose. So you look at me now for a moment. The objectification of the previous projections of your mind, okay, have dimmed the vision of the light forms that are all around you and have forced you to seek for provisional alternatives in sequential possibility in order to justify your own place in space-time. Okay. It's simply not true. The practice that I hope is occurring in your mind now is the sudden realization that there is a place in space-time where the idea of objective and subjective associations come together in that quantum moment of realization of the creative reality of all that is and ever will be. There. Perhaps I worked with you. Huh? See, now you're taking what you previously identified as an objective thought within your own mind. You release the idea of the specificness of the thoughts, and it expands in relationship to its inevitable uncertainty. And as long as you don't try to define it, it will expand continuously, not until it discloses to you something specific outside of yourself, but opens up and discloses to you the entirety of the source of the process by which you are thinking, which is you. That's the practice of this workbook. Okay. Take a look now just for a moment. That was lessons, 16, 17, 18, and 19. Stand by for number 20, and then we'll talk about it. Now let's take a look just a minute at what we've often expressed in the religious vernacular as free will. It's lesson 20 entitled, I Am Determined to See, and I Intend to Use the Power of My Mind to Do So. We have been quite casual about our practice periods thus far. There have been virtually no attempt to direct the time for undertaking them. Minimal effort has been required, and not even active cooperation and interest have been asked. This approach has been intentional and very carefully planned. We have not lost sight of the crucial importance of the reversal of your thinking. The salvation of the world depends on it. Yet you will not see if you regard yourself as being coerced and if you give in to resentment and opposition. This is our first attempt to introduce structure. Do not misconstrue it as an effort to exert force or pressure. Listen, you want salvation. You want to be happy. You want peace. You do not have them now because your mind is totally undisciplined and you cannot distinguish between joy and sorrow and pleasure and pain and love and fear. You are now learning how to tell them apart, and great indeed will be your reward. Your decision to see is all that vision requires. What you want is yours. Do not mistake the little effort that is asked of you for an indication that our goal is of little worth. Can the salvation of the world be a trivial purpose? And can the world be saved if you are not? God has one Son, and He is the resurrection and the life, and He is you. His will is done because all power is given Him in heaven and on earth. In your determination to see is vision given you. So the exercises for today consist in reminding yourself throughout the day that you want to see. Today's idea also tacitly implies the recognition that you don't see now. Therefore, as you repeat the idea, you are stating that you are determined to change your present state for a better one, and one that you really want. Only remember this: what you desire, you will see. Such is the real law of cause and effect as it operates in this world. Now that you're determined to see, let's look quickly at lesson 21. I am determined to see things differently. The idea for today is obviously a continuation and extension of the preceding one. This time, however, specific mind-searching periods are necessary in addition to applying the idea to particular situations as they arise. In the practice periods, begin by repeating the idea to yourself, then close your eyes and search your mind carefully for situations, past, present, or anticipated, that arouse anger in you. The anger may take the form of any reaction, ranging from mild irritation to rage. The degree of the emotion you experience doesn't matter. You will become increasingly aware that a slight twinge of annoyance is nothing but a veil drawn over some intense fury. Try, therefore, not to let the little thoughts of anger escape you in the practice period. Remember that you do not really recognize what arouses anger in you, and nothing that you believe in this connection really means anything. You'll probably be tempted to dwell more on some situations or persons than on others. Don't be concerned about that. This is merely an attempt to let you recognize within your own perspective how you really feel about yourself. Let's look at how you really feel. What you see is a form of vengeance. Today's idea accurately describes the way anyone who holds attack thoughts in his mind must see the world. Having projected his anger onto the world, he sees revenge about to strike him. His own attack is thus perceived as self-defense. This becomes an increasingly vicious circle until he is willing to change how he sees. Otherwise, thoughts of attack and counterattack will preoccupy him and people his entire world. What peace of mind is possible to him then? You want to take just a moment and look about you now and practice. Everything that you see is a form of vengeance because it's going to justify the place and time that you think you're in. And each time you formulate it, it can only disappear in the mists of the unreal, below the event horizon. Remember that the cat is in the drawer only until you open to look at it. It is from this savage fantasy that you want to escape. Isn't it joyous news to hear that it's not real? Is it not a happy discovery to find that you can escape? You make what you would destroy, everything that you hate and would attack and kill. All that you really fear does not exist. Remember at the conclusion then of this exercise, is this the world that you really want to see? So here we are back again, and this time we, in this mind training, we expressed in the determination to see. Somehow that involves the admission that we were seeing our own thoughts and that we're actually not happy with the thoughts that we saw. Now, coupled with the idea of the exercising of the power of your mind, and I'm speaking to you right out there watching this video, has to be the declaration of a determination to see differently. Because it involves the admission in these previous lessons that everything you're seeing is actually over and gone. So the lessons we just looked at said, I'm determined to see, and I'm determined to see difficulty and differently. Now let's look at what occurred. The truth of the matter is that the moment you began to examine your own association with yourself, you were unhappy with it. Now, I'm not concerned about the particulars of how you use yourself to identify yourself, but I am certain that any form of exchange or the idea of dissatisfaction that you express with yourself, and certainly you must do it, look at the situation that you're in, would have to be emotionally involved with the idea of vengeance. And that's the lesson that we just saw in the video, wasn't it? First of all, I want to see. Second, I want to see differently because I'm tired of the vengeance that I seek and the emotional pain that I experience in my own mind by comparing what appear to be other people's thoughts, which I have neutralized in my mind in order to not to recognize them as mine. By not recognizing them as mine, I can defend myself from other people's, so-called other people's thoughts, and then take revenge on them for the emotions I feel about myself in my inability to recognize who I am. The solution that I'm offering you in this mind training is stop trying to recognize who you are, because the retention of who you are or what you believe yourself to be within the aggregation of your conceptual identity is what a grievance and vengeance is. And it cannot not include fear. So by projecting the idea of getting even with somebody, this is very fundamental to the teachings of our Savior Jesus Christ, who says exchange is impossible. Stop trying to get even with somebody through a form of reciprocity that finally is only within your own mind and expresses your determination to limit yourself to the loss that you believe is an inevitable based on the objective associations in which you find correspondents that are limited both in their emotional maturity based on their creative source, since it comes from the effect of your own mind, and the aggregation that you hold in objective reality without the admission that you are the fundamental cause of it. So where are we now in this mind training? We're at a point where you have made a very fundamental admission that the conceptual identity that you have given yourself cannot solve the problem. Now the idea that that is proven in the impossibility of specific objective relationships would be very important to you. because if you'll stop trying to intensify specific ideas within your own mind that can only lead you to the old specific conclusions of the limitation of the sequential ideas contained, using up what? The potential of the thought forms that you accumulated in separation in order to justify, okay, a particular space-time location. I'm a little afield with that, but I want you to try with me now, if you will. And I'm going to actually try it with you. I know that what I am telling you has to be disturbing you. You're disturbed by the prospect. Remember what we teach in this thing? You're going to enter into a lot of fear with the idea that all of your apparent reality within the illusionary nature of the correspondence of the light energy is actually not real. In fact, it's impossible for you to actually, within your conceptual mind, retain the idea of your own unreality. Nor is it necessary that you do so. It's only necessary that you release the defenses of the anger that you feel, the need to defend yourself within your own aggregation of form in order to see the solution that comes from our Creator and the certainty of our relationship with each other in this quantum moment of understanding that is inevitable from my mind to yours. Now, what has occurred in this mind training? And I want you to say that it has occurred. Has it occurred? All right. Is it you opened up a portal of increased possibilities, not based on your determination to justify the possibility, but on your continued uncertainty about the result. Because in your continuing uncertainty about the result, although it may be initially fearful to you, is the release of the necessity to justify the pain that you're feeling. And if you don't justify the loneliness and pain and loss that you are feeling, what will happen to it? It'll disappear. How do I know it will disappear? It already has. It's over and gone each moment. Remember what we said in this training? You're holding it still in the idea of the possibility of what would be a grievous situation. And whoever tells you that a whole mind that I'm representing to you doesn't teach you that you believe in your own reality of grievance is not true. I know that you do. And I know that your reality is based on the perspective that there's actually something out there that can harm you. And as long as you believe that, you never will solve your problem. What have we evolved in this mind training? That you're the cause of it. Now the idea that you are being attacked by your thoughts can show you that your thoughts are actually always over and gone anyway. So that if you'll stand with me just for this moment in this quantum certainty, or the admission that you in reality can't locate yourself, first you'll stop trying to do it specifically in objective associations that appear to be in the velocity of the extension of the speed of light. Okay, then you'll begin to realize the fear that is entailed in the admission of a single location. Yet if there is only one entirety of location, which would appear to be a separation from the creative energy of the universe, it could not offend you any longer than you were determined to hold the dark form within your own mind and not see the quantum solution that I'm offering you right at this moment. So we're going to practice in this next 10 minutes the application of the Copenhagen. These are going to be prayers. Would you like a couple of prayers? One will be the Niels Bohr's Copenhagen solution, and the other will be Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. Heavenly Father, I have made a fundamental admission that I am the cause of this, and I no longer want to be. I want through the perfection that I know is evident in your mind for you to show me, okay, that in the idea that I am the cause of it, I can use the power of your creative mind to show me that it is true. Now, I pray to you that in the, that I know that in the Heisenberg uncertainty principle is my certainty that I will always be uncertain. And that if I can decide at this moment to remain uncertain of my cause, that you will show me instantly that I am indeed the cause of all of this. And in the certainty that I am the cause of it, will be the evidence that I have sought within the objective limitation imposed on me by myself in the idea of the sequential associations of separation, which could only be continued to be illusions of the idea of a false location within the universal mind that you have demonstrated to me in the certainty of our single causation. Are you ready now to look at this with me? Let's review just a moment what this mind training has brought you to. The first thing it told you is there isn't any world. This is confirmed by all of the directions that you're now being given by your astrophysicist. There's no point where this will not continue to be an entirely illusional idea within the construction of your own form idea. Remember that it involves the idea, the energy of the power of thought. The power of thought that converts to the idea of a solution not contained within the formulation of your objective self-identity is the teaching of this course. And it's gratifying to see that many of you now are beginning to have this experience of the peace and the love and the security and the confidence and the certainty and the joy and the happiness of the simple realization that you have no alternative to it. As long as you thought you had an alternative to the idea of total joy and happiness and communication, okay, you could not experience the entirety of the ecstasy of the moment of the union, of the passion, of the dedication, of the entirety of your emotional involvement in a single event that has shown you who you really are. Okay? As our Master Jesus Christ, my Savior, has informed me, and in the certainty that I have evolved, that I am responsible for what I see. I'm choosing the results that I want, and I'm getting those results in my mind. All power is given to me in heaven and earth as it is given to you. Under that direction, I have become certain that through the auspices of His whole mind, I now realize the certainty of my self-identity and offer it to you with the inevitable possibility that we are singular in our love for each other and in the energy of the eternally expanding idea of creative reality that is a whole part of us. I'm glad that you've come this far with me. The basic idea of quantum, or the idea that you could accumulate quantum moments within a ratio of sequential time and not use them in order to justify this association, but allow them to accumulate within a vortex of energy, which you call a galactic association, are evidences of the progress that you have made in this. You're looking good. We're getting calls from all over this continuum indicating that it's time for the solution. Remember that the solution of your leaving space-time was true by the idea about it, but could not be recognized in the formulation of the objective associations. This is beautifully expressed in one of the lessons of the Course, where Jesus says, time is a sleight of hand. Everything that is happening to you in space-time has obviously already occurred, including your decision to leave. Yet until you have the experience of the decision to leave and leave, you can't know you're gone. And that's the dilemma of the paradox of the idea that you could find a specific reference of yourself in space-time that would indicate the eternal nature of all life, simply because you can't. As long as that is true, the idea of quantum will remain a theory because it can't be proven. But not because it can't be proven in a quantum relationship of the idea of a singularity, and in fact the idea of an event horizon that would justify a progression from the idea of a single dark form to an entirety of creative reality. I don't know how much sense I'm making here. What I want you to see is my mind is certain of who I am, and in that certainty cannot not lie the conclusions that I continue to reach in my creative endeavor. I'm glad you joined us today. This was, I believe, number 3 in this more recent mind training. And we're at the idea, all right, that these vengeful thoughts that you hold are being held against yourself, and that through loving your brother in the entirety of your association with God, you can come to know who you are. And that'll be our lesson for today. We may put up just one more little admonition to you that's going to lead us on now in our next attempt that will go on up through lessons 35 and 40. We'd like to hear from you if this is working. We hope you'll drop us a line there. At the end of this video, there's going to be a direct line where you could call Endeavor Academy and say, send me more material. This is working. Send me a copy of the first 50 lessons. Send me this little mind training book that can show me this 20-minute book. Or perhaps I could practice in the morning, taking time to release the defenses of myself. We're glad you came. And we're glad that at this time and in this place, you have decided to leave the frame of space-time that caused you to consider the possibility that you could be separate from eternal love. What I'm expressing to you now with my whole mind is your whole mind. And if you'll accept it, we'll be in love and whole together for all of eternity. More and more of us now are seeing and discovering this continuum of time. So you stay with it, and I'll see you soon. All my love goes with you, as God goes with us in this venture into what can be known by our determination that it be so. I'll see you soon. Let's wrap up this training session with probably the most important lesson that you can see this early in your game of salvation. I can escape from the world I see by giving up attack thoughts. The idea for today contains the only way out of fear that will ever succeed. Nothing else will work. Everything else is meaningless, but this way cannot fail. Every thought you have makes up some segment of the world you see. It is with your thoughts, then, that we must work if your perception of the world is to be changed. If the cause of the world you see is attack thoughts, you must learn that it is these thoughts which you do not want. There's no point in lamenting the world. There's no point in trying to change the world. It is incapable of change because it is merely an effect. But there is indeed a point in changing your thoughts about the world. Here, you are changing the cause, and the effect will change automatically. The world you see is a vengeful world, and everything in it is a symbol of vengeance. Each of your perceptions of external reality is a pictorial representation of your own attacked thoughts. One could well ask if this can be called seeing. Is not fantasy a better word for such a process, and hallucination a more appropriate term for the result? You see the world that you have made, but you do not see yourself as the image maker. You cannot be saved from the world, but you can escape from its cause. This is what salvation means. For where is the world you see when its cause is gone? Vision already holds a replacement for everything you think that you see now. Loveliness can light your images and so transform them that you will love them even though they were made of hate, for you will not be making them alone. And in this process of converting your mind from the dark form of your attack thoughts, you will escape the curve of the power of gravity and move beyond your own event horizon to the glorious realization of eternal life. The way is open right here and right now for you in your own whole mind to begin and complete this experience. We'll see you again soon.